You know, most people want to help. They're just a little bit afraid, depending on what it is. Well, today we're going to share 10 proven ways to take the fear out of helping with church tech and putting the purpose back into your volunteer team. It all happens next on the Church Solutions Podcast.
It's the Church Solutions Podcast, brought to you by StreamingChurch.tv. The Church Solutions Podcast is all about helping you and your church with technology and other resources for your life and ministry. Now, here are your hosts, Steve Lacey and Phil Thompson.
It's the Church Solutions Podcast, and this is your cue, Steve Lacey.
All right. Hi, my name's Steve Lacey. Glad to be here.
Don't be so excited about this.
Yeah. Very excited.
All right. Steve's got a cold today. He's not feeling really good. So we're dragging him in to do this podcast. Hope you feel better.
Yeah, thank you. Running its course. It's kind of a, I don't know, after a few years, you get to figure out how these colds work. So right now, yeah, they migrate. They usually start up high and go down low, and then, or they start low or start in your throat, and they just migrate around. So
that's true.
It's good point. It's in the super runny nose mode. I've got a Kleenex.
I can tell you're stuffed up. Well, I'm sorry to hear that. All right. Well, my name's Phil Thompson. This is episode number 507. A lot of action and activity going on in Tucson, Arizona, which is where we are based out of because of the kidnapping or abduction of Savannah Guthrie, who's the host on the Today Show. Her mother was abducted 11 days ago, and her mom lives here in Tucson, not too far from where I'm at, where we're at, I should say. And so it's been quite a national media and everything, and they thought they had somebody yesterday, and apparently they've released the person. And anyhow, it's just become quite a big deal here. So we wish the Guthrie family well. We definitely want to pray for their comfort and pray that they find the mother. The mother's 84 years old, so it's been a sad deal there. All right. You don't really keep up with that kind of stuff. See, my wife and I, we watch Dateline. We watch some of these mysteries, police. That's one of the few things I will watch with my wife. Kind of interested in those things. All right. So today we're going to talk about Easter's coming up, right? This is 2026, and Easter's coming up. What is Easter? The first or second day of April, I think. I can't remember now. But it's coming up real quick. Look on my calendar here. And one of the things that's really important about Easter, actually it's April 5th. Looked at my wall calendar here. It's something about a wall calendar. You know, we're all digital around here, and we've got Google calendars and everything else. I like my wall calendar.
All right. Somebody got me as a gift a Corvette calendar, but that year's gone behind me now. So
there you go. All right, so April 5th, Easter. And what's really important for Easter, and we're a company that does streaming video. And by the way, this podcast is brought to you by StreamingChurch.tv, which is us. You want to make sure your volunteers are ready to go, especially your tech volunteers, especially now Easter's come up. Big time of the year, of course, for churches. So we're going to talk about 10 ideas for recruiting church tech volunteers today.
Yes, we're borrowing some content from Church Tech Today. So saw this article, thought it might be kind of interesting since I am one of our church's church tech volunteers. And you so are. Thought, oh, this might be interesting. Yeah, how do we get Kenny more John, volunteers?
I think his deal. There's some other stuff we'll look at too. But so let's start off first off. If you want to recruit volunteers, and you should, I mean, in my opinion, volunteering, whatever they're doing, tech or whatever, is just an important part of ministry. It doesn't just benefit the church leadership or the staff, but it actually can benefit the person volunteering. They become a part of something. They can grow in certain areas. They get to work with other people. They get to know other people. And God works in their life when they begin to reach out and help and volunteer. So it's not purely a selfish thing of like, we need some volunteers because otherwise we'd have to pay people. I mean, you know, obviously churches with budgets, we all understand that. It's tough. But when a volunteer is involved in something, it helps them as well as the church.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. We volunteer at our church, and I'm typically paired up with, maybe we'll talk about this, with the same people. You know, I don't do it every week. I do it every other week. But I get paired up with the same people. So, and I know one of the guys lives alone, doesn't have any kids. You know, he's working. And this is a big part of his life. I mean, being able to serve in the church, he looks forward to it. He gets to socialize with people. He gets to, you know, feel valued. And he's kind of moved, migrated to kind of one of the lead roles. So he enjoys that. And and he's volunteered for other things too. So he's the TV mover guy right now, which I thought was kind of interesting. We have a TV on wheels on stage.
Oh, I remember that. Yes.
The pastor uses, and they all of a sudden he goes up. You know, right before the bumper video, I got to run out here and grab the TV. I'm like, what? And he's going on stage and grabbing, moving the TV into the location for the service to be
pushing the TV on wheels. Yeah.
Yeah, so
it's on wheels. Yeah, I remember that. I was there.
So it's like you said, it's a big part of his life. I think he would really miss it if he couldn't volunteer. So
it's really very. It has such a beneficial effect for everybody involved. So let's talk about some ideas when it comes to recruiting some volunteers. And there are some things here that I think, unfortunately. As church leaders, and I was a church leader for a long time, some of these things we miss, or we don't do a very good job at. So let's talk about the first one is clearly state the expectations.
Yeah. So we do this related to this, and it's not on our list here, but it's related to this first point, in that we have a program where we allow everyone to shadow. So, or take a tour. We do a lot of this, you know, say, hey, I'm interested in volunteering. And what they'll do is they go, well, I'm not sure where I want to volunteer. I assume they do this for other areas because somebody will be, and they'll bring them to the, you know, to the back. We're in the back room now, you know, before the service. And they go, here's where all the video switching, streaming stuff occurs. And, you know, here's this equipment, here's this equipment, here's this guy, here's Steve, here's, you know, Ralph. And they kind of give them a little overview. They're just kind of going, oh, okay, yeah, it looks interesting. And then they shuttle them off to, you know, another area. And they'll say, here's what the greeters do. And here's how they work. And, you know, here's what their day, here's what ushers do. Here's what children's workers do. And they kind of walk them around. Just to get them exposed to, I mean, that's phase one. And then the next phase is once they say, yeah, I want to go, that tech stuff looks like fun. You know, I like Justin dials on my stereo or whatever. Then we set them up to shadow somebody. So, and these are things that I think are, it's not on our list, but I think they're important and I think they work well. And by shadow somebody, that means you just need to show up, no obligation. You're going to sit next to the guy that's going to be doing the thing that you'll eventually be doing. And I've had a few people do that. Well, they'll shadow me and I'll explain what I'm doing. And then, you know, hopefully towards the end of the service, I'll say, you know, let's switch seats and you push that button when this thing happens or, you know, that sort of thing. So they can kind of get a feel for, what the expectations are for the role. So clearly stating your expectations, they can kind of learn firsthand what, what it takes to do it. So yes, it's important. I think it's a good little system we have going. So, and the number one challenge is getting volunteers.
We, when I was in Christian broadcasting as management, we did kind of a similar thing in some ways. Of course, it was more specifically, okay, you want to be – we actually had a broadcasting school that I ran, but then we also did that – we did the same deal. We would have people shadow our announcers and almost the same thing you just described. Okay, we got a commercial coming up. Go ahead and push that button, you know, that kind of a thing. Uh-huh. And so – but you're so right. That is really a good way to do it. I think that it's I wish more leadership would understand some of these things we're going to talk about, because honestly, it does take time to do this. It takes some energy to make this thing happen. And it's easy just to say, oh, you want to do this and just throw them into it. But that creates potentially a problem, because if it doesn't work out or the expectations aren't really spelled out like they realistically, then you have a person that's very frustrated, a volunteer that's frustrated, a volunteer that's discouraged, a volunteer that might just not come back, period, to the church, yeah. You know. So it's really good for people to understand what the expectations are, whatever it is they're going to be doing as a volunteer, so they can make an informed decision on whether they want to do that. I'll back the tape up even a little bit more, and I don't know how many churches do this anymore. But your church used to do it, because I used to teach it. And when I started my own church, I did the same thing. We actually had like a class where you discovered your gifts. And I think we called that Class 301, which was based out of Rick Warren stuff. And I think Alive called it something different eventually, Alive being your church. Your church is alivechurch.com. But so we actually would help people discover their gifts and talents. And we would teach a class that did that. And people were excited about it because, you know, everybody kind of wants to learn a little more about themselves, right? And maybe discover something that they didn't realize they had, a gift or a calling, a spiritual gift or whatever. So we actually would do that. And then we would begin to plug people in to different areas of the church. So anyhow. Yep. All right. Shall we move on to point number two, offer training and support?
Yeah, and I think we kind of talked a little bit about that. The shadow thing is the one way to do the training, and I have had people come shadow for a service, and some that you know they're on the team and they're rocking and rolling, and other times where like maybe I don't enjoy doing this. I'll go, you know, I enjoyed shadowing over here instead. You know, they went and took on another role. So,
So you definitely cover that. So, I mean, I would also add this. I would add to when we talk about training and support, I would add to the point where you actually create some opportunities to meet with your volunteers on a somewhat of a regular basis, whatever that might be, a month, every month or something. I don't know. But something where there's a little bit of support offered outside of just Sunday morning. Hey, how's it going? See you later. But, you know, and again, that means a meeting or something, but it could be done creatively with maybe a luncheon together or dinner together or something.
You're poking at my disdain, you know, like, I've already given this time. I can't come and give any more time, you know.
Well, and that's a barrier perhaps, but you can make it fun, and not everybody thinks like Steve Lacy.
Yeah, that's true.
But I certainly understand that, but you're doing a lot too. I mean, you as a person with grandkids and streaming church.tv and trying to take care of Phil Thompson and Michael Gray and everybody else involved here, you do have a lot on your plate.
And I'm sure there's people out there, maybe not, that have been to training sessions that were kind of a waste of time. You know, like, I didn't need this, you know.
I still think you need to have something. It may not be what I described, but it needs to be something where people don't feel like they're being used. People don't feel like they're being unappreciated. So whatever that might be.
Yeah, we're going to get into that towards the end of this too, right? It's one of the other
probably are.
Key points here is
But people need support. Regardless of the training, they got to have support. So, all right. Boogie on here?
Sure.
Is that a 70s term? Boogie? Boogie on? All right. Make it easy to get started. You kind of touched on that at the very beginning where you described what your church does. Takes people around, shows them all the different ministries. I think it's good to if you want volunteers, you're trying to recruit volunteers, you want to make it as easy as possible. You know, you don't want to have people go through a third degree necessarily. Now, I mentioned earlier about a class, discovering your gifts and talents. I still think that could be a good thing because people like that. But if somebody wants the volunteer and they've gone through that and they, you know, they go, oh, yeah, I feel like I'm gifted to work in the tech area. You know, you don't want to make them jump through too many hoops. You want to make it as easy as possible, you know, to help them get started in what they're doing.
Yeah. And we'll get people that they do the little tour I talked about, and they're right off the bat. They're like, no, this is not for me. This is really interesting. But, hey, I'm moving on, you know.
Yeah, that's what it was with kids, with me and kids. Yeah, no, I'm not for me. All right. Not that there's anything wrong with kids. Kids are great people. All right. I'm just not gifted in working in that area. All right. So let's just move on here. So another, if you're looking for volunteers, another important thing to consider is ask some of your current volunteers, you know, ask for referrals from some of the people that are working with you and are happy with your church, you know. They know people. They might know somebody. And so that's always a good opportunity to you know, hey, do you know anybody that might want to be involved here that might like doing this, you know, as speaking to a volunteer? I think that can be important and get a referral from those people.
Yeah, that's we've got a somewhat interesting thing at our church. We have a lady that directs tech, I guess you'd call it. She's kind of the director of, you know, camera one, now camera two, set camera three on this, you know. And her husband doesn't speak English, and he volunteers as a cameraman. So so there, you know, he's a referral from her, I think, or maybe the other way around. I don't know. But yeah. And so it makes it really interesting because he doesn't speak English and we don't speak Spanish. And so if he's on camera, we need her in the back to do translation. So,
numero uno, dos, tres, camera tres. Yeah.
Yeah. We don't even try. So,
all right. So, moving along here when it comes to, you know, getting some tech support, especially the, you know, the season's happening here, Easter. You know, it's okay to put it on your website. I wouldn't make it a big deal on your website, but you can certainly utilize your church website. There are, again, people looking to get involved in things in life. And if they find your church and or maybe even if they're regular members and they go to your website on a regular basis to look at different things happening, putting something like that on your church is, you know, it's nothing wrong with doing that. Put it on there, give people an opportunity to maybe get plugged in. I think it's a great opportunity or a great tool, I should say, to use.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially for the newer people that all they, you know, that may be one of their primary exposures was through the website. So yeah, like I said, I probably wouldn't make it a primary focus, but listing, you know, get involved opportunities. And a lot of these are the next three or four here are all talking about the same kind of things, right?
Yeah, they really are. The other one is utilize social media. Again, I wouldn't put a big emphasis on that, but you could certainly utilize social media to reach potential volunteers, you know, try to make it attractive in the sense of, you know, putting maybe an attractive image into social media, something like that. Your church bulletin is certainly always an opportunity there to do that. And by the way, you know, you're going to put that out there for people. Make sure you follow up with people. I mean, if you have somebody that's interested, follow up. Assign somebody to follow up. If you're not the person to do it, make sure they're following up. My wife recently was inquiring. She's a singer and hasn't been singing for a while, but she's been a part of a church, a newer church. And we actually know a lot of people from this church, the leadership included. And she's inquired about possibly being on their music team. And the guy hasn't called her back. It's been weeks, right? And they need people. It's not like they don't need people. We know they need people. So, you know, you just want to be careful that you're you know, you got to get out there and recruit people. When people do respond, make sure somebody's following up, right?
Yeah. And I think it's important to, for all these avenues, is to not fall into the trap of speaking from the church's perspective, meaning we need this, we need that. I think it, yeah. it you need, as you message this, you need to take it from the perspective of the potential volunteer. He says, you know, increase your engagement at the church, get to know new people, have a new, you know, it's kind of like the guy that I work with a lot that he's, I mean, it's a big part of his life. So you need to frame it from, and you talked about doing the 301, discover your talents and, you know, discover where you may fit in and find out where you can leverage those opportunities, you know, that you don't want to frame this like, oh, we need these guys. We're need desperate. These. Because then you're like, yeah, we're desperate for this.
Please, and please.
People are like, oh, I don't want to go there. They can't get anybody else to go. I'm not going to go, you know.
Yeah.
You don't want to.
Yeah, you definitely want to, you know, you want to show the benefits and how it can help people. Not out of a plea of desperation, you know, even though you might be desperate. All right. So where are we going here? So we talked about just utilizing some of the things you have. One of the things that you guys have at Alive, I remember when I first came back from Kansas and was I go to the men's bathroom and stand in the urinal and look in front of me in the wall. And there was a poster and under some glass, you know, promoting different things happening at the church.
Yeah.
And so
I learned that from the bars and restaurants.
That's right. And so, you know, again, there's some creative ways if you're looking for volunteers for something, you could put up a creative sign, creative poster, make it look nice and put it in different places where people will see it. And if you're a guy standing in front of the urinal looking at the wall, that's not a bad place to put it.
That's right. So, yeah, so we got several different places to do this. And we kind of talked maybe a little bit about this, hosting a tech open house. We haven't done much of that, but we do the kind of the introductory tour stuff, which is kind of like an open house where it's kind of no commitment, just kind of, you know, this does this, this does this, this guy, this role does this, and that's how this works, and, you know, that sort of thing.
Yeah. I think, you know, when you were talking about, you know, we're talking about recruiting volunteers and specifically here with tech, you know, there are some people that freaks them out. You know what I mean? They get scared. They don't, I can't do tech, you know. But, you know, I think there are those who like to do that, especially the younger folks might be more inclined to jump at it, you know. And so, again, you know, I'll tell you what I used to do, especially when I was in a smaller church of around 100 people or so. I used to, when I was executive pastor, I used to, when I wasn't on the platform, I would be in the back and I would kind of be in the back looking at the congregation. Of course, all I could see with the back is their heads, but I could recognize certain people and I would think, wonder if that person might be interested in being involved in something here. You know, it wasn't always tech. It was some other things. And so sometimes I would honestly target people, not stalk them, but target them because they were coming and I knew maybe they weren't really involved in something. So I would just target them and then just gently walk up to them when the opportunity arose and say, hey, yeah, I know you've been coming here for a couple months now. How you liking it? Would you be interested in maybe being a greeter? Would you be interested in maybe, you know, whatever it might be, you know, folding bulletins or, you know, running the PowerPoint presentation. I'm old. I said PowerPoint, but, you know, running ProPresenter, something like that. So those kind of things, a personal invite to somebody is also something that can help. Mm-hmm. All right. We'll move on here. Go ahead.
Faded fast, huh?
There you are.
Last point here is we had talked about giving thanks and make them VIPs and that our church does a very good job of that. And I don't always participate, but
well, that's all right.
We got a deal coming up and they said, bring your spouse. And I grabbed my wife and said, you want to go? She goes, no, I'm not going to that. I'm like, oh,
Well, so anyway, you guys have been there for 30 years or something.
Yeah,
my gosh,
we've been forever.
But you've been there forever.
Our church, they do all kinds of fun stuff. There was one that I really wanted to participate in that I couldn't go, and I was very bummed. They had a morale event for the whole, tech team. And it was at the axe throwing place. And I have never thrown an axe. I'd never even heard of it. Well, I hadn't heard of it. And I looked it out. I was like, oh, that looks like that might be kind of fun. So, but I couldn't go. So I was bummed.
Oh, bummer.
And they haven't rehosted that place again. I don't know how it went down, but I was thinking, oh, that'd be kind of fun throwing an axe.
Yeah, a fun little thing to do with something like that. You just went to golf and stuff. I don't know if golf and stuff is nationwide, if people know what that is, but you went to golf and stuff the other day. I mean, little things like that. We do axe throwing growing up in Ohio, but that was before it was a game. And we just would throw axes at stuff. We grew up in Ohio. We did stuff like that.
Oh, yes. No, I haven't been to, I assume they have targets and scoring and all that fun stuff.
What I've seen on video, for the axe, the actual axe. I've seen the blooper ones. The blooper ones are kind of funny, but they could be kind of dangerous too. You know, somebody throws an axe and ends up going backwards with it or something. But we won't go there. So, the big picture to what you were just saying is come up with some creative ideas. You know, maybe a potluck is not the way you want to go. Maybe you want to hold your own axe throwing contest at your church. You know, I don't know.
Yeah. The one that's coming up for us, there's the worship leader is a big Texas barbecue guy. And so he's going to be making some homemade smoked barbecue. So
I don't go to your church anymore, but I'll just go to that just for the food. So
there you go.
I'll just show up. Hey, who's that guy? Nobody knows me now anyhow. All right. I think we're done here. We'll have a blog that will talk a little more about this stuff eventually. If you haven't checked out our blog, you can go to streamingchurch.tv/blog. That's one way to get to our blog. You can always look at our other podcast. You can always go to streamingchurch.tv. That's us. And click on resources. We've got our podcast. The videos of our podcast are on here, as well as, of course, the audio parts on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. And anywhere you get your podcast, you can get the Church Solutions Podcast. So check that out. Subscribe to it. And as I mentioned just a few seconds ago, we have other resources for your church that could help you. That's what we're all about here, trying to help churches do their thing. All right. Any last words, Mr. Steve Lacy? You need to take some Sudafed or something.
I know. My nose is running. So, I think I'm done.
All right. Maybe lay down or something for a while. All right. Folks, thank you for spending some time with us today on the Church Solutions Podcast. Sure, appreciate it. And thank you, Steve Lacy. I'm Phil Thompson. Please take care of yourself and each other, and we will catch you again on another episode of the Church Solutions Podcast.